Why do you keep doing it on your own? Why do you keep trying to deal with it on your own? Why do you keep trying to figure it out? Why do you keep trying to overcome it? How long are you going to do it before you realize you can't? But he can. If you'll give it to him and then trust him with it. If you back up into the 17th verse, it says, we have this confidence because just as he is, so are we. Go ahead, look at your Bible. That's what it says. We have this confidence because just as he is, so are we. No, that's the next thing. Just as he is, so are we. I just hadn't really, you know, I'm always, for decades, I look at the 18th verse all the time. I backed up into the 17th and went, whoa, that sounds familiar. It's what Scott just said. If you flip back over a couple pages to the third chapter, in the second verse, it says, remember the funeral, the more he is made clear. The more he is made clear, the more we see him, the more we will become like him because we will see him as he is. Just as he is, so are we in this world. I feel stupid sometimes. I just hadn't realized John said that twice, not once. He said it there in the second verse, what we call the second verse, the third chapter, just part of his letter. And then later on in the same letter, he said the same thing. This man believed this and wrote it twice. Just as he is, so are we. The more we see him, the more we become like him. What is he afraid of? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. What does he dread? Nothing. The only thing he dreaded, is what he came for. So at the same time it was dread to him, it was also his mission and his purpose, and he fully and completely accomplished it, and that was to allow himself to be wounded for our transgression, to bruise for our iniquities, to allow that beating that shed his blood be for us so that we could be restored to God. He fully accomplished it. There's no reason for us to walk around with, quote, fear or dread of anything. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all of my fears. I know that God's dealing with people, and I know his word is true. I know he is faithful. Amen. So let's back up to where I thought we were going to start. And it's going to kind of all come together. Last week, remember we contrasted epithumia from the fourth verse of 2 Peter, the first chapter, where it said that you will escape, having escaped the corruption, decay, the destruction, the decay that's in the world through epithumia, which is normally lust. Remember what we talked about? We said more to this word. It's not, it's a longing. It's a yearning. Remember what we said? Jennifer got it right off the bat. Remember we said when you're yearning and you're moaning and you're longing, you're not doing anything but whining, right? You're not moving. You're not walking out there. The same thing could be applied to what just happened with you, hopefully with you. In this situation, you quit taking it on the chin. You quit allowing that thing to be stored in you. You get fired up and you go do something about it. We contrasted that with macrothumia, which we find in Hebrews 6, long-lasting passion, long-lasting enthusiasm is the way I like to say it, that's what happened, that be not sluggish or slothful, rather be imitators Imitators mimic those people, emulate those people who through faith, which again is the opposite of fear. Faith is confidence. Faith is being fully persuaded. Faith and long-lasting enthusiasm emulate the imitators of those inheriting the promises through faith and long-lasting enthusiasm, passion, excitement for God in making his promise to Abraham. Okay, we're going get that in your mind. Making his promises to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing. Say blessing. Okay, think about everything we talked about with fear, right? That ain't a blessing. Right? Okay. Surely blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply you. And so, and here's the verb, with long-lasting passion or enthusiasm, he obtained. He obtained. Epituchano, we went through that last week. He nailed it. He kept going. He kept going. He kept going until he nailed it. It happened. As I was writing out to the Monday morning high, I was thinking about Abraham. Obviously, he was on my mind here. And I realized, so far as I know, we don't have any record that Abraham ever asked for this. And then I thought, well, reckon why God did that. And the only thing that I have found is the fact that when you look over to the 19th verse of the 18th chapter of Genesis, God had said, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm writing the Monday morning, I'm thinking of this, you know, something about, I know him, he'll train up his children after him, or something like that, right? So that was the only, quote, qualification that God spoke out saying, this is why I picked this guy. So I went to look it up. And what I found was curious, somewhat confusing, because, like, for instance, I won't go through all the stuff with you, but one thing, it says, I know him. And then other translations say, having known him. And I'm thinking, well, that's two different things. I don't get it. I dug down into a lot of things. I have known him. No, having known him. No, I know him. Well, what does that mean? How does that work out? And there's several other things you go through there. It gets really confusing. In fact, if you go read the 18th chapter, the whole thing's a little strange. Okay?